This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This entire hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Bill Larson will be happy to give you a free consultation about your rights as a writer and everything you need to know about copyrights. So you give him a call at 727-546-0660 and set up an appointment with him. Well, this is going to be a very special Valentine's Day program. We are going to talk about one of the greatest writers of all time. He never wrote a book, but his words are in your head and in your heart. A lyricist is a special kind of writer, and Hal David was a very special man. So I am so thrilled that his wife of 25 years, Eunice David, is with us today to talk about this genius wordsmith whose words of love linger on, although he's no longer with us. Hi, Eunice.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you. You know, Eunice, Hal's words are so wonderful. And as I was reading, you know, going through his lyrics and just looking at them, they are so beautiful. It's just mind-boggling that one man could write so many wonderful and brilliant songs.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and I'm so thrilled that his words have lasted so long. Hal's first hit was in 1949, probably before many of your listeners were even born. And he wrote up well into the 80s, even a couple of songs in the 90s. And those songs are still being sung today. It's wonderful to hear them.
Well, I think they will endure forever. As long as there are people on this earth, they will be playing these songs because they are in our hearts. They are songs that for every occasion in our lives, from the first time we fall in love to an engagement to a wedding to an anniversary, these songs are in our hearts. And I want to play one song that is particularly meaningful to me, and it is one of my favorites, The Look of Love. And then we'll come back and talk, okay? Eunice, you know, it's so wonderful about this song.
Hello.
There. You know, we're going to continue playing it in another minute, but I want to just say that we're going to come back to it in a minute, Ed. I'm telling Ed in the control room. Because just the first wonderful thing about Hal's words are that they linger in your mind. They really do. You just have to hear the first note of a song, and the words are there. And now we're going to continue with the song so we can hear some of the words.
All right. Thank you.
I can hardly tell.
I love this song particularly because this is one of the first, my first dance with my husband.
Oh, that's the beauty of house lyrics. You can always remember where you were when you heard them, what you were doing, who you were with.
Exactly. And of course, let's talk a little bit before we play some more of the music. Let's talk about your fantastic romance with Hal and how it is always so wonderful when love comes. You know, sometimes people say, well, they're getting older and love might not come along again. But you were, how old were you when you met Hal?
I was in my mid-60s.
And Hal was quite a bit older?
He was 6 years older than me.
6 years older. Mm-hmm. And isn't it wonderful that you had 25 fantastic years with him?
Oh, it was just, what a ride. It was just a great experience for me. And Hal loved it, too. We just thoroughly enjoyed being together. We did everything together. And it was one of those marriages where he worked from home most of the time, and I didn't mind that one bit. So we just enjoyed being together. We first met on a tennis court. Mutual friends of ours invited us to play mixed doubles. We were both widowed at the time, and I had no idea who he was. In fact, he told me he liked my backhand, and I asked him what he did for a living.
Okay. I guess he answered that.
Right.
Well, he of course, he has such a delightful smile. I was looking at his photos and I thought, oh, what a great smile.
You see that in almost every picture he's ever taken. He was a happy man and he liked to show it. And well, I think his lyrics reflect that.
I think they do. They have that wonderful enthusiasm, the joy of life that he managed to put down on paper. It's really so amazing that these words came to him not rapidly, but they just would come into his head and he would be able to take them and make these beautiful songs, of course, with so many with Burt Bacharach.
That's right. He had quite a bit of success with other writers before he met Burt. Several of his songs became very popular in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. But, of course, once they met, it was just magic. They were a great combination. And Hal always liked to say that he felt a song should sound seamless, as though it were written by one person. And I think he accomplished that.
Oh, they certainly did. They certainly did. And as you said, whenever you listen to one of these songs, one of Hal's songs, you know where you were. And there's always something there to remind me. And
true.
We're going to go right into that.
Good.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Part of me, oh, 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 oh. When shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night, and I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you?
Well, I think this song is an example of how Hal was able to take one idea and in one song tell an entire story. You can see this story in your mind.
Well, I think that's what Hal always strived for. He said he liked to write simple words that everyone could sing or understand, and he liked to tell a little story. And I think almost all of his songs have a little vignette in them.
Exactly, and that's why they are so lasting. Now, just tell us a little bit about his background for those people who don't know. Of course, he was...
Hal was born in Brooklyn, New York. He had an older brother, Mac David, who was a songwriter when Hal was a teenager. And Hal was always interested in writing songs, but his brother, Mac, tried to dissuade him and tell him that he was such a good writer, he should go into advertising. So Hal took his advice and went to work at the New York Post. While there, he was drafted into the Army. And once he arrived in Honolulu after basic training, he saw a sign that said that actors, writers, dancers, singers were needed for shows that were going to be produced for the Army and sent all over the South Pacific. So he immediately signed up, and that's where his career really began. His first big song in the Army was called "Send a Salami to Your Boy in the Army." I said, only a young man from Brooklyn or a budding songwriter like Hal David could have made that rhyme.
Exactly.
But it worked.
And that the lyrics to that are so delightful. Send a salami to your boy in the Army. It's a patriotic thing that everyone should do. Send a salami to your boy in the Army. Don't just send him things to wear. Send him something to chew.
Right.
Wow. That is so clever. And again, exactly as you said, a vignette. I mean, you can picture the whole thing. You can see, you know, mothers packing boxes with salami to send off to their boys at the war. And of course, salami was something he was familiar with.
That's right. His parents owned a delicatessen in Brooklyn, and Hal sliced his fair share of salami working with his parents.
Well, it's exactly this kind of joy and silliness in his that he combines in his music that makes it so real to people. It's not something. Sometimes, you know, some writers, their songs are beautiful, but they don't exactly relate to the everyday person. And boy, Hal's songs capture the feelings of everyday people.
They sure did.
So, you know, tell me when one of the songs that I want to play now, and it's funny. I was telling my guy in the control room, Ed, I was saying I almost don't want to play this next song because I remember where I was. Not only do I remember where I was, I remember exactly where I was standing on what place in the room, the exact spot in the room I was standing when I first heard this song. And I was looking at my first apartment, you know, as a young woman, first apartment, moving to my own apartment. And I'm standing in this room and I heard this song on the radio. And it was a song that stuck with me for almost 6 months. And almost, I thought at one point I was going to go crazy because I couldn't get it out of my mind. But I love it. I love it still today. And so I want to play it because it is a particular song for me. And then you can tell us the story behind it.
Okay.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all? Ah. guess it is wise to be cruel. And if life belongs only to the strong and few, what will you lend on an old?
I just think that song is so beautiful. And that line, if life belongs only to the strong. And then, again, another song that tells an entire story.
Well, actually, that was Hal's favorite song of his that he had ever written. He felt that he was able to say everything he wanted to say in a song with those lyrics. And it was sort of a hard song for him to write, because when he was first asked, it wasn't played in the movie, by the way. It was played as the at the end of the movie over the credits. But when he and Bert were first asked to write the song, Bert couldn't seem to get started on it and asked Hal to write the lyrics first. And Hal had a hard time with them because he wasn't familiar with the name Alfie. He thought it sounded like a British music hall sort of a name, and he just couldn't get a handle on it. But once he thought of what's it all about, Alfie, he just took off. And then it became, as you said, a wonderful hit. And Hal was very proud that phrase, what's it all about, Alfie, was featured in Bartlett's book of phrases. I don't have the name of that book quite right, but Bartlett's. And it was in that book for many years, and Hal was very proud of that because it was Bartlett's Familiar Sayings, I think is the name of the book. And what's it all about, Alfie, became something that people said all the time. Hal just loved that.
Well, it touches a part of your heart that exactly, I think when I first heard it, because I was young and I was, you know, just starting off, and I heard that song and I thought, what is it at all about? It's more a question, what's a life all about? And
right.
And so this song is absolutely fantastic. And one of my favorites. Now,
if you have time for just a short story about it.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. We want to hear the story behind the songs.
We were in a restaurant in Los Angeles one time, and someone came over to us, and he recognized Hal, and he came over to tell Hal how happy he was to have met him and how he just loved all of his songs. And he said, as a matter of fact, I love your song so much that I named my dog Alfie. And at the end of the meal, we asked for the check, and the maitre d' said, well, that fellow who was talking to you paid for your meal. So we knew his dog's name was Alfie, but he never got to find out what his name was, so we never could thank him.
Well, that's a wonderful story. That's the kind of thing I love to hear. And that's why I really enjoy this book, and I highly recommend it to everybody, because it is so much fun to know the story behind a book, or the story, in this case, behind the songs, and to get a little glimpse into, first, of course, some of the artists who over the years, you know, Hal worked with so many fantastic singers, and to hear the little stories about who sang what and why, and who sometimes rejected a song that later turned out to be a hit. So all of these stories that you've put in this book, I think, are so fascinating and makes it a really wonderful read.
Thank you so much.
And now, of course, we have to talk about his favorites, well, some of his favorite singers. So let's hear from you. Who did he really love to work with?
Well, of course, Dionne was like his muse. She sang almost every single song In fact, there was only one song that she did not record the original version of. And Hal always said that he could hear her voice in his ear as he was writing. So he really wrote for her. But curiously, the one song that she didn't sing, didn't record at first, was What the World Needs Now is Love, which was then recorded by Jackie DeShannon and became a mega hit for Jackie. And Dion eventually recorded it.
I'm sure, because once you hear that song, again, that is an example of such beautiful lyrics. They stand alone. I mean, without the music, they stand alone, just as a poem. It's just, they're so beautiful.
Well, and the beauty of that particular song is it was written early on, but those lyrics are very pertinent even today. And I think that's that was Hal's talent. He's forever.
Well, even more today. I think that to hear that song and his lyrics where he says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Boy, was he right on that.
You're
what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Right.
That is so, so true, and something that will, again, because of the truth of it. And it's always, the truth lives on. And that's why his songs will endure, because his songs are full of the true feelings of people. And then when I know that he struggled for a while with this song until he came out with this wonderful, the next line, which is, Lord, we don't need another mountain.
That's right. That song probably took him longer to write than any other song, because he just couldn't finish it once he came up with the beginning. And he lived in Roslyn, New York at the time, and he would drive from Roslyn into the city of Manhattan. And I'm sure the other drivers on the road were pretty mad at him, because his head was always in the clouds when he was driving. I wouldn't have wanted to be next to him. But I wanted to get back to the other singers that Hal enjoyed so much. Dusty Springfield was a British singer, and she covered almost all of Dion's songs brilliantly. She was very popular in England, and I think helped to popularize Hal's songs in that country, because she had this wonderful dusky voice, and it just really brought out the lyrics of the songs. But there's another singer she's been on Broadway, but mostly these days she's a cabaret singer. Her name is Christine Andreas. And when she sings Alfie, there isn't a dry eye in the house. She's just fabulous. Hal loved her.
Well, of course, you know, I think after a while, every artist picked up, you know, his songs and did various versions. Of course, Barbara Stanwyck did some beautiful versions of his music.
She did Alfie, too.
Yeah.
Very beautifully.
Very beautifully. And now I want to get to a song that everybody knows and loves, and they've seen it in the film, and people question where did the idea come from. And we're going to play that song now from a very popular movie.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till I
Well, you know, sometimes songs make a movie, and I think this song made the movie.
Well, thank you for saying that. Of course, Bert and Hal received Academy Awards for that song, but it almost didn't get into the movie.
That's so hard to believe because, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is a good movie. It's, you know, has many wonderful things about it. The pairing of the two stars and the story. But without that song, I really don't think it would have been such a hit.
Well, I agree 100%.
That it's so, when you see that, I mean, it's sort of comes out of the clear blue sky. Suddenly this song comes and it just sets the tone.
Well, one of the reasons that they had a hard time getting it into the movie was because they started asking some country singers to sing it for the movie, but they wanted a guarantee that whoever sang it would put the song out as a single. And they asked Ray Stevens, a popular singer at that time, Arlo Guthrie. Nobody seemed to want to promise that they would put it out as a single. And Hal and Bert were worried that if they asked too many performers to sing it who turned it down, that Paramount would sour on it and wouldn't get into the movie. But they were close to Florence Greenberg, who ran Scepter Records. In fact, they had brought Dion to her to record her records. So they called her and asked for B.J. Thomas, who was under contract to Scepter. And he was brought out to California and recorded the song for the film. And that was the history was made.
Well, what I was wondering, when he got the assignment for this song, did he know, I mean, he didn't know what scene they were going to play it?
He didn't at the beginning because he was in New York. And he was called to come into Los Angeles, to Beverly Hills, where he always stayed when he was working on a movie. And they wanted him to come out to the studio to see that particular scene where they wanted the song. But Hal was sick as could be. He just could hardly get out of bed. And he called the studio to say he couldn't come in. Well, they wouldn't hear of it because it was over a July 4th weekend, and the studio was going to be closed. And they wanted him there to see that particular scene. So he dragged himself out, came back to saw the whole movie, came back to the hotel and wrote the lyrics, which he then brought over to Bert's house. Bert was living in Beverly Hills at the time, and he had already written the music. So that was a traumatic time for Hal because he was so ill. And actually, people ask him how he came to write "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head," because the movie was sort of almost a comedic story about the lives of the two fellows. But Hal always said that he felt Butch Cassidy was a loser. Nothing went right for him. So he got it in his head that raindrops were always falling on his head, and that was the basis of the song.
Well, it's brilliant. It's and again, as I said, I think without that song, I don't think the movie would have been such a big hit. Because once you see that, you never ever forget that scene. It is. It seems like the scene, the song, the music were all done at the same time by one sort of like seamless is the word. I mean, it appears seamless, like one person. You know, three people here just sort of melded into one person and created that scene.
Well, I totally agree with you. It's just meant to be that way.
It was. It was absolutely.
But I have to tell you that Hal was a great champion of all songwriters, and he frequently testified in Washington, D.C. For copyright protection. And one day he was there talking to legislators about the importance of copyrights and how important music was to a movie in particular, and he showed a scene of Paul Newman and Catherine Ross riding that bike around, and he showed it without the music and then with the music. And, of course, everyone could see that it just wouldn't have been the same without that music in that particular scene. So that was a very powerful statement that he made to show it both ways.
Well, I didn't realize he did that, because that's exactly how I felt. When I look back and I think about that scene, it is one. You could not have one without the other. It's just so perfect.
Right. But I have to tell you another funny story. At least I think it's funny. Friends of ours asked Hal if he would sing Raindrops at their daughter's wedding, because when she was a baby, the nurse would bathe her and drop little droplets of water on her head and sing that song to her. So she grew up with that song. Well, of course, Hal agreed. And during dinner, the father of the bride went up to the bandstand and suddenly announced that now Hal David was going to come up and sing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Well, Hal walked up to the bandstand, and there were he and the father, and they turned around and realized the band was on break. And they both stood there with egg on their face. But suddenly, a friend, a mutual friend back actually, called out from the audience. It was Neil Sedaka, and he said, "Hal, just tell me your key. I'll come up and play for you." And that's how Hal came to sing the song at that wedding.
Well, what a perfect combination.
It was. The guests got more than they bargained for that day.
Well, the two of you had so much fun. As I'm reading this book, I just enjoyed the stories of your travels and where you went and all of the people that you got to meet. It's just, that's why I recommend this book to people, because you need a book like this, and the nice thing, you can go back to the book, you know, you can sort of pick it up anywhere and read one of these little stories about one of your trips or one of the fun dinners that you had or the places that you went together, and always it's so filled with love and this sharing of humor. I think your stories are beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your saying that.
Well, I'm going to play a song, and then you can tell us why you wrote a letter to Hal and signed it in a very special way.
Okay.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long. I may go wrong and lose my way. Do you know the way to San Jose? Some peace of mind in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Put $100 down and buy a car. In a week, maybe two, they'll make you a star. Weeks turn into years, how quick they pass. And all the stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot. Space, there'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. With a dream in your heart, you're never alone. Dreams turn into dust and blow away. And there you are, without a friend. You pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose?
Again. Okay, we're coming out of that song. Again, Eunice, I think this song is so fantastic. All of the lines are just wonderful. Fame and fortune are a magnet. Dreams turn into dust. In one song, he tells such a complete story.
Well, I always teased him, because Hal was sent from Brooklyn to San Jose, California, for basic training. And He had never, that's as far as he'd ever traveled in his young life. So then, of course, years later, he wrote that song. And people always ask him where he gets the ideas for his song. And he always says he has no idea. But I'm certain that his time at basic training in San Jose was in the back of his mind when he wrote, Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
Now, was that an assignment? So many of his songs were written on assignment. I mean, he was asked to write a particular song about a particular thing.
No, that was not an assignment. It was when he and Bert were just writing popular songs, hoping they'd get played on the air. The funny thing is, Dion was singing their songs at that time, but she wasn't crazy about those lyrics, and she hesitated about singing, about recording that song, but after she recorded it, it became her first number one hit. And even after that, she said it still wasn't one of her favorite songs.
Well, it's one of my favorites because, again, I come from Michigan, and every girl who's heading towards California sings that song. You know, I like we're all there, and so that fame and fortune are a magnet line is particularly telling to all of us. So I remember very this song really making an impact on me.
Well, actually, you talked about a letter that I wrote to Hal and signed it. Jose, that was one of his nicknames for me. My given name is Eunice, and that's a pretty harsh name. There's no way to put a nickname to that name. So being the happy-go-lucky guy that Hal was and always wanted something fun, he named me Jose. So that's how I would sign my letters to him.
Yes, he never wrote a hit song called Eunice.
Who could?
I know, really. It was even Hal David could not meet that challenge.
That's right.
Because it is a hard name too. But again, he did so many songs where he was asked to write a particular song for a particular in movie. One of the ones that I like very much is What's New Pussycat? We're going to jump over to that song.
Okay.
Okay.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat knows. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're so thrilling. So willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yeah.
Now, was that a song that he was asked, commissioned to write?
Yes, that was. Bert and Hal were in London for Dion's first performance in a big venue in London. They were there to sort of hold her hand and help her out. And while there, they ran into Charlie Feldman, who was an agent, manager, and a producer. And he was with the woman he eventually married, a French woman by the name of Clotilde de Bardot. And Feldman was saying that he had a song for that in the movie, but he didn't like it. And Clotilde told Feldman that, boy, you should hire these guys. They're hot. So they met for breakfast the next morning, and Charlie offered them the opportunity to write the title song, What's New Pussycat? It was for a Woody Allen movie he was producing with Peter Sellers, Peter O'Toole, Romy Schneider, and several other wonderful performers. And they didn't know what to do because they were due back in California to write a song for another movie. But Charlie Feldman said, look, you're here now. I'm going to give you a great opportunity. So they went ahead and wrote it. And the back story about that song is that originally Warren Beatty was supposed to star in the movie. And What's New Pussycat was the way he answered his telephone when people would call him. But Woody Allen was then hired to write the script, and he started building up his part and downplaying Warren Beatty's part. And so Beatty pulled out of the movie. But they did keep that song in it, and, of course, Tom Jones sang it and gyrated and
he did.
Made it very popular.
He did.
And so that was actually their first big movie song, and they got a lot of offers after that.
Now, when what was the dynamics between the two of them? Hal was very cheerful and outgoing, it seems to me.
Well, he was, but he was at the same time a little bit retiring. And, of course, Bert was out there performing and sort of the face of the couple. And Hal was not as well known because he wasn't out in the public. But they had a very good working relationship. And they didn't socialize in those years, but they just worked beautifully together in a little office in the Brill Building, the famous Brill Building in New York. But in later years, Bert started mentioning that the lyrics were written by Hal David. And I think, of course, Hal always appreciated that. I wish he had done that earlier, but at least Hal got to hear him say that those wonderful things that he did mention about Hal and how much Hal's lyrics meant to the songs. So Bert recognized it and eventually told everyone that.
Well, of course, Bert Bacharach is a brilliant musician and conductor, and the combination. I don't know how many songs did they write out together all together.
Oh, Hal never knew. He never had a count of them. People often asked him that, but he never checked it out.
Well, you know, it is just such a wonderful, I think, such a wonderful and touching love story that you met in maturity, and right, that you had so many wonderful years together. And, of course, Hal was 91 years old when he passed away.
Right.
And that was a year after, almost a year after 9/11, which was, as you mentioned in the book, you happened to be in New York at the time.
We were there. It was a terrible time. It was almost surreal that first day because no cars were on the roads, no people were out. Actually, people couldn't get in the city because the buses had stopped running, the subways were not running. We went out to dinner that night, and there was only one other table, a single man sitting at a table with us, and we were with some friends. But we had to walk to get there because there was no other way. And the next night, we went to dinner with other friends of ours, and Liza Minnelli was with us. And it was amazing, the change in the first 9/11, everybody was in shock. By 9/12, everybody just felt they wanted to be together. They wanted to hug strangers on the street. They wanted to talk to people. It was quite a traumatic time. We were there for about 4 days because we couldn't leave. There were no flights going in or out. So it was a terrible thing that happened to the United States.
And
hope it never happens again.
And we have to just remember Hal's words: what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And Whoa, that's what we need, because it's just so hard sometimes to think about the terrible things going on in this world. And that's why music is so important. And I think that it does build a bond to people. And I know that his music is loved all over the world.
It is. It's amazing. Wherever we traveled, and we went to some pretty strange places, we always heard a Bacharach Davis song. It was just wonderful.
Well, I know. Even I was traveling, and even during just after the Cold War, it was still going on, and we were in Poland, and in the middle of a really awful hotel where there was practically no running water, and things were falling apart after, you know, the fall of communism. And what are they playing? They're playing, you know, some of Hal's songs. And it
right.
was just absolutely fantastic to you know, walk downstairs and to hear, you know, I think, which song did it? The song that they were playing in the morning. And it was so funny, you know, when you're in the middle of nowhere and then suddenly you hear a song from America. First of all, you didn't expect to hear a song, you know, an American song, because you're still in a country that's just given up, you know, communism. And
right.
and then just to sort of, you know, hear one of Hal's songs, it was just amazing. And I'm so grateful that you came on today to talk about your book and to tell people a little bit about Hal. And I could go on and on, you know, playing so many songs, but I just want to tell people that they can go to Hal did a webpage, which is nice. And there's a lot of information there.
A lot of information.
And it's just called haldavid.com, and people can go there and read more and see some of the more of the stories behind the music. And Eunice, I just want to thank you so much, and I'm so happy that you had such a nice, long, and happy life with Hal, and that you're working now to continue, you know, to share his memories and the memories of his songs and promote his music. Well, you don't really have to promote his music. Every artist wants to. I don't care. You know, they come along and they might be singing other types of songs, but at some point they want to do a Hal David song.
That's right.
They just need to have it there, because it is his words will linger on forever in the hearts of people. So thank you, Eunice, for coming on today. As I said, I gave you the whole hour simply because I just needed to share with my listeners my joy in listening to Hal's songs. And we're going to play one more on our way out here, because I don't have any more time, and it's a lovely song. Just quickly tell us, "To All the Girls I've Loved Before."
That actually is my favorite Hal David song. He wrote that with Albert Hammond, and Albert recorded it, and it didn't do too well, so he put it away. And years later, Albert asked Hal to send over the lyrics to the song, and the lead sheet was sitting on a desk in his office, and Willie Nelson walked in and saw it, and he told Albert, "Oh, I'd love to do this. I've always wanted to do a Hal David song." But he was told, no, it was meant for a new artist coming in from Spain. He was a hit in Spain, but not known in the United States. His name was Julio Iglesias. So Willie, never missing a beat, said, "Oh, I love to do duets." That's how that song was born. And it was sung for the first time on a country music awards show. And it just went skyrocketing from then on.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye to you for now. And I hope that maybe you could come back on again, and we can play a whole bunch of more songs and talk more about the book.
Thank you for having me, and happy Valentine's Day.
And same to you. Bye-bye, Eunice.
Bye.
To all the girls I've loved before,
travel in and out my door. I'm glad they came along. I dedicate this song to all the girls I've loved before. To all the girls I once caressed, and may I say I for helping me to grow. I owe a lot, I know, to all the girls I've loved before. The wheels of change always rolling, and every time I try to stay, the wheels of change continue rolling, and they just carry.
Well, I want to wish all of you a very happy Valentine's Day. If you're looking for a romantic place to go tonight, go to Miami Avenue Wine Bar in Indian Rocks Beach. It is a romantic place. The wine is just fantastic. The food's fantastic. And you will have a lovely time with wonderful dancing and singing. And that's at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. And I want to say a special happy Valentine's Day to my husband, Asher, to my son, Daniel, and to my sister, Natalie, and my brother and his wife, Tom and Debbie. And I just want to say I love you all. And it's just so wonderful that you are in my life. And I want to also say a very special happy Valentine's Day to all the truck drivers out there. Because today is also the birthday of Jimmy Hoffa, who I love very much. And I will someday tell you why. But I do want to say that my father was a Teamster, and so Jimmy Hoffa meant a great deal to all of us, and he did a lot for the working man. So even though you might have heard things about him, I do want to say happy birthday to Jimmy Hoffa, wherever you are, and maybe I know where you are, and to all the truckers out there who are always working so hard and driving around town. Just thanks for listening in, and thanks for some of your emails I've gotten. So just have a wonderful Valentine's Day. All the best. Bye-bye. See you on Thursday.